The world and everything in it is made possible by people like you. I'm Sharon Hassing. My husband and I live on Hilton Head Island in South Carolina. We give to World because we greatly value biblically sound journalism grounded in God's Word. It can't happen without the extra donor support from people like you. Please consider giving by going to wng.org/donate to send your gift. And then, enjoy today's program.
Merry Christmas and good morning. I'm Myrna Brown, filling in along with Megan Basham as co-host today. But we'll have a lot of the gang around after the news to share our Christmas memories with you.
I confronted my mom and I told her it's not possible for Santa to climb down a cardboard chimney. So he had to be coming through the front door.
And we'll also have more of your Christmas memories to warm up our hearts. And we'll complete today's program with a Christmas hymn.
It's Wednesday, December 25th. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Megan Basham. Good morning.
Up next, Kent Covington has the news.
President Trump on Tuesday shared a Christmas greeting with members of the U.S. military across the globe.
We're honored to be joined on this call by five units deployed all across the world representing the branches of our armed forces.
The president spoke by video conference from Florida. The group included Marines in Afghanistan, an Army unit in Kuwait, and a Navy ship in the Gulf of Aden. Trump praised the armed forces for their efforts this year to eliminate ISIS and for killing ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. He touted economic successes at home and a pending pay raise for service members starting in the new year. He also chatted and fielded questions from troops.
Thank you. Great
yes,
job.
Sir. Merry Christmas, sir.
Thank you. You too. Merry Christmas to everybody.
President Trump is celebrating the Christmas holiday with his family in Palm Beach, Florida. The Pentagon has identified the U.S. soldier killed Monday in Afghanistan. He is 33-year-old Sergeant Flass Michael J. Goebel of New Jersey. He died in a roadside bombing in northern Kunduz province. The Taliban claimed responsibility for the attack, posting pictures of Goebel's identification card. 20 Americans have died in the fighting in Afghanistan this year. Many firefighters in Australia are working through Christmas, still struggling to contain an outbreak of brush fires. Prime Minister Scott Morrison recognized their efforts on Tuesday.
At this Christmas time, we give thanks, despite these terrible challenges, for the wonderful country that we've been blessed to live in. As we look forward to next year and as we celebrate this Christmas, I want to thank all of those who serve our nation, serving as volunteers, fighting those fires as we speak.
Morrison announced that volunteer firefighters from the federal public sector will receive paid leave on top of their regular annual and sick leave. Fires have consumed about 12 million acres of land over the past few months, killing 9 people. The flames have also destroyed nearly 1,000 homes, mostly in New South Wales, the country's most populous state. At least 15,000 foreigners stayed overnight in Bethlehem for Christmas. Thousands of Christians made a pilgrimage to the city where Jesus was born to celebrate with the local community. A Christmas parade welcomed travelers. Festivities in Bethlehem included a midnight mass at the Church of the Nativity on the site where some believe Jesus was born and a large faux Christmas tree in Manger Square. Kentucky resident Roger Hoagland is among the Christmas travelers. He's in Bethlehem to lead a choir.
We have 40 people, and many of them are from the United States and other countries that come to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ.
Tourists also stayed in other West Bank towns, including Jericho and Jerusalem. I'm Kent Covington. A very Merry Christmas to you. And straight ahead, my World Radio colleagues and I share some of our Christmas memories. This is The World and Everything in It.
It It's Christmas Day 2019, Wednesday, December 25th. Glad to have you along for today's edition of The World and Everything in It. Good morning and Merry Christmas. I'm Megan Basham.
And I'm Myrna Brown. Megan, I'm so happy to be hosting with you. And this is my first time to co-host.
Well, you would never know it. You're doing a great job. So clearly this is a good day for new beginnings.
It is. It is. And, you know, to celebrate the occasion, we're going to pass the mic around to some of our team members for a few Christmas memories. And to get it going, I'll start. Well, my Christmas memory is connected to music. Most of what my brothers and I know about singing comes from my mom. She's a strong soprano. My dad, on the other hand, is a self-proclaimed toe tapper. At 78 years old, he's still the coolest swing dancer I know. But he can't hold a tune, unless it's on Christmas morning. So as kids growing up in Mobile, Alabama, our Christmas morning devotions are the only times I ever remember hearing my dad sing. After taking turns reading Luke 2, my brothers and I, my dad would stand up on Christmas morning and raise a hymn. Now, some people call this hymn lining. Others in the Black church refer to it as meter hymn. My dad would chant a line from a hymn like, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah," and then we would repeat that line. And that would continue for the next 10 minutes or so. And then at the end of the song, we would hum the melody until we had all prayed. Off key, and I do mean off key and all, his singing has always been soothing to my ears, and it just warms my heart.
Yeah, there's nothing more soothing than a dad's off key singing. Mm-hmm. How about you, Kent Covington?
Yeah, one of my earliest childhood memories, we were living in a house that did not have a fireplace around one of my earliest Christmas memories. We were living in a house that did not have a fireplace. And that created some confusion for me because I had learned that Santa comes down chimneys. And you know, that was a problem because, of course, we didn't have one.
So big problem, yeah.
My mom solved this problem with, she went out and got this cardboard fireplace, this big cardboard fireplace with a fake brick pattern, and it had a fake chimney that ran up to the ceiling. And for years, I believed that Santa was coming down the cardboard chimney through the cardboard fireplace to deliver my presents. And then finally, one day I figured this out. I was thinking about this and I thought, okay, there's no way this can possibly be true. Santa can't be coming down a cardboard fireplace through a cardboard chimney. So I confronted my mom and I told her that I had figured out the truth about this whole Santa thing. It's not possible for Santa to climb down a cardboard chimney. So
a budding,
he had to
you
be
are
coming
a budding
through the front door.
Right there. That's a budding newsman talking.
That's right. I was question everything. So I said, okay, this is not true. He has to be coming through the front door. And My mom admitted that I was right. I'd figured it out that Santa was, in fact, coming through the front door.
Yeah.
Mm. Ho, ho, smart ho. Kid.
Fake, smart kid. Fake chimney, yeah. But real news. That's Kent Covington.
So he had the skepticism of a newsman even back then. Love it. All right, Anna Johansson, how about you?
Yeah, this story has gone down in infamy in the Johansson family. When my brothers were about 3 and 4 years old, they were singing in the kids' Christmas concert at church, and they were going to sing Away in a Manger. And, you know, there's the line, "The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay." And my brother Caleb, in typical little boy fashion, liked to sing it, "The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hairball." Now, Mom and Dad had discussed this with Caleb. It's not okay to sing hairball. Well, it came time for the performance, and my two brothers are standing next to each other in the choir, and they sing Away in a Manger, and guess what? Caleb sings Asleep on the Hairball. He sang it quietly, so nobody noticed, except for my brother Andrew, who was standing next to him. He heard Caleb sing hairball, and his little three-year-old heart is just filled with righteous indignation. So in the quiet, just before the applause, he announces to the entire congregation, "Hey, he said hairball."
Awesome. Little boys are going to be little boys.
Right?
Sounds like my sons at that age. Well, I think Paul Typical. Butler is next. What do you have, Paul?
Well, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. When I was a senior in high school, my folks were missionaries on the island of Bonaire that's in the Caribbean. And on Christmas Eve morning, I awoke with this harebrained idea. I jumped out of bed, rode my bike to my best friend's house, and started singing Christmas carols outside his window. And I wake him up. He gets out of bed, and we decide to ride to a neighboring missionary's house where another one of our high school friends is sleeping. We wake her up, and then we serenade her family with Christmas carols. They fed us breakfast, and we suddenly had this idea, you know, there are more missionaries, and I bet you more breakfasts to be had. So the three of us continued going from house to house, eating more along the way until we had most of the youth group joining the chorus. So then we ended, of course, at the youth pastor's house, who he and his wife fed us lunch.
That's awesome.
Second breakfast. Love it.
Got breakfast and lunch. What a deal. Well, let's pass the mic to Jenny Ruff.
Okay, here goes. My first Christmas holy day came in 2011. Although I had celebrated 37 Christmases before then, that was the year my nominal faith took root. Before, Christmas meant material stuff. After, Christmas meant the stuff of life. Where did life come from? What is its purpose? I began to actually read the Bible and was constantly surprised by what I discovered. Mm. Take Jesus' birth. I'd always believed three kings visited Jesus in a stable. This belief stemmed from the carol, We Three Kings. Plus, the nativity set my mom displayed every year had exactly three kings. So did the pictures on the Christmas cards. But according to the biblical text, those who visited the Christ child were magi, not kings. Three gifts are mentioned, but the magi aren't numbered. Also, they visited a house, not a stable. I was full of misunderstandings and incorrect assumptions about God, the Bible, and the Christian faith. My biggest misunderstanding was about Christmas. I'd always been taught to follow a bunch of rules and say a prayer about giving my life to God. But the words of the Bible shed light on the truth. God, through Christ, gives life to us. Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Merry Christmas, yeah. Jenny. And I think we can all relate to that. I know I can, that I still need to go back and reread the story because you always find new truth in it. Lee Jones, let's hear your Christmas memory.
Yeah, well, I wish my reflection this year was as profound as Jenny's. It's not, but it does involve sharing the blessings of Christmas with our family in Christ. My husband and I are native Texans, but we spent several years living in Atlanta. And while we were there, we celebrated holidays with friends. One of our closest friends was from Germany. So one year, as we were planning out our Christmas dinner menu, my friend began to pine for the tastes of home. Now, as it turns out, Germans do not eat turkey on Christmas. They eat goose. Well, happy to relive a part of my friend's childhood and always up for a culinary adventure, I declared that we should eat goose that year. Mm. It took a little hunting of the shopping variety, but my friend finally found a suitable bird to cook on Christmas morning. That afternoon, we sat down with much anticipation as my friend carved and served our Christmas dinner. It was... well, let's just say that was both the first and last time I'll be eating goose for Christmas or any other meal.
Did you remember what that was called? Did you remember the name of the dish?
I don't.
Weihnachtsgans, I believe, is the way it's said in Germany.
Well, if I had remembered it, Nick, I would not be able to pronounce it.
the high school German is always there to bail me out, you know?
Mom, this dish tastes like it sounds.
Yeah. All I can say is Lee, you are one good friend.
I mean, true.
And who knew Germans don't eat turkey for Christmas?
Right?
Let's turn to Mary Riker now.
Well, Lee, that just hurts my pescatarianism, I gotta tell you.
Sorry, Mary.
Well, my memory
I thought you were
is...
Baptist.
Fish eaters unite. Well, my memory is when I was 12 years old, I remember waking up in the wee hours. Everybody else was asleep, and I tiptoed in my flannel PJs from my bedroom down through the hallway to the living room, mindful to avoid that creaking spot on the floor. What I saw in the quiet of a Midwestern winter storm just... it took my breath away. The tree with the angel on top, tiny lights all over, glistening tinsel, everything thoughtfully placed on the tree. The scene felt holy. It made me feel reverent, not for the tree and not for the gifts beneath the boughs, but for the one for whom the occasion celebrates. And now that I'm in midlife, that feeling still astounds me.
Yes.
It was the late Irish poet John O'Donohue who resonated with my soul in his piece titled Blessings of Beauty. It recalls that same wonder from that night so long ago. Here are just a few lines from it that I wrote down. May the light of dawn anoint your eyes, that you may behold what a miracle a day is. May you find enough stillness and silence to savor the kiss of God on your soul and delight in the eternity that shaped you, that holds you, and calls you. And may you know that despite confusion, anxiety, and emptiness, your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
Beautiful.
It is. That was really beautiful, Mary, and that definitely makes me want to go find that full poem. So, Katie Galtney, let's turn to you. I know you also have something that is maybe a little bit more thoughtful.
Yeah, thanks, Megan. Yeah, I was thinking about this and trying to pin down one memory or one favorite tradition, but I just kept coming back instead to a feeling, that sense of anticipation that's just inherent in the season. As a kid, of course, I mostly anticipated presents or a daily dose of sugar, like in my daily chocolate advent calendar. My own family actually still does an advent calendar now, but goodness knows my kids do not need any more sugar. Most of the slots in our calendar contain a slip of paper where I've written down an activity that bonds our family. We love it, and the eager waiting and wondering to see what each day will bring, culminating with the celebration of Christmas Day, it's such a beautiful parallel to the Christian life, that expectant joy. I guess what I'm trying to say is in 30 years, I may not remember what I cooked on Christmas Eve or my kids' favorite gifts, but I'll remember how it all felt. Mm-hmm. The joy of the season, something so sweet to look forward to, and seeing those glimpses of God's goodness and beauty in the everyday.
Mm. Wow. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate your saying that, because that's a real encouragement to those of us moms out there who feel like we have to do everything and get it just right to create a memorable Christmas. We don't. So, JC, Derek, how about you? What's a memorable Christmas to you?
Yeah, I don't really have a particular Christmas memory that comes to mind, but what has really struck me this year is just the preciousness of the ordinary, and that includes really a lot of Christmases in my past, and I'm thankful for that. You all know my father-in-law was recently diagnosed with ALS, and that has made me acutely aware of the need to treasure every minute that we have with loved ones, but it's also made me think about all those past years when I kind of took things for granted. You know, it's a shame when we only recognize how special something was when it's gone, you know, when it's passed. And it reminds me of how Jesus told us Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And when we're always looking toward the next thing, the next stage of life, rather than being fully present in the moment, then we allow him to rob us of the joy that God intended. So that's what I'm pondering this year, and I'm resolved not to do that anymore, meaning take things for granted and just reflecting on how grateful I am for all those normal Christmases of years past.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. Reminder to be fully present. And we want you to know, JC, we're praying for your father-in-law.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, we are.
So, Kristen Flavin, you're talking about a family Christmas that didn't go quite as planned.
Well, kind of. One of my favorite Christmas memories comes from a few years back after a staycation in St. Louis with my family. We were driving home on Christmas morning. We felt like we were the only vehicle on the road, which kind of felt like a fun adventure. We talked as we drove about what we were going to have for dinner that afternoon, and we've never really been a family of traditionalists when it comes to holiday meals, so we were planning to have hamburgers. About halfway home, my mom lets out an audible gasp, startling everyone. "I forgot to buy the meat!" As we collected ourselves, continued our drive, and started thinking about alternative meals, the empty streets and closed stores now kind of seemed apocalyptic in light of our looming hamburgerless Christmas dinner. When we got home, we threw some frozen toasted raviolis and other freezer food in the oven before someone found out some restaurants were still open. So that Christmas, we gathered as a family around pizza boxes in our kitchen and laughed. It seemed like the perfect example of the way the Lord provides for our every need, even if that's with St. Louis-style pizza instead of hamburgers on Christmas morning.
I gotta be honest, that sounds pretty good to me. That's like breakfast of champions. So now I'm hungry. Nick Eicher, anything to add to that?
Well, let me just say here that I'm so glad that we're doing this. I mean, one of the things that I hear regularly in emails and whenever I get the chance to meet a listener is the sense that all of us here are part of a bigger family. And, you know, that is a real privilege. We are, in a way, guests in the homes of our listeners. We ride along on commutes to work. We're in the kitchen during meal prep or cleanup. Our reporting is part of dinner table conversation. So it's a real privilege to have a part in the world family of listeners and readers. I think it's good and right that we take this time to share the personal stuff. So just to be completely transparent in the spirit of what we're doing here, you need to know that Kristen Flavin is my daughter. She's all grown up now and married, has a new last name, and I am the grill master who thinks it's a great idea to cook out in the cold and snow. That's my idea, right? But in all seriousness, what gives me so much pleasure as a parent is to create memories. Kind of like what JC was saying a moment ago, that things that we think are mundane when we're doing them or when we're experiencing them do become special with the passage of time. And so when I hear one of my children, grown up as she is, articulate something that at the time I remember being a bit of an irritation, but that turned for her into a warm memory and an unexpected blessing, that gives me incredible joy. And, you know, my hope is that something that we say today strikes you as meaningful or blesses you in some way or moves you to a deeper relationship for Christ. You need to know that that is our goal, to stir up one another to love and good works, as Hebrews says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another.
Amen.
And that's what we seek to do. So Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening.
Yeah, that's an encouragement to me. And just another reminder to pay attention and savor the little things. That's what counts, right, Sarah Schreinsberg?
Yeah, gratitude is so important. And, well, that's something I didn't have one particular Christmas when I was about five. I have a bunch of cousins, so my grandparents would give each of us one gift, and we'd open our presents one at a time from oldest to youngest. Well, I'm one of the youngest, so this particular Christmas, I'd seen like 10 cousins open these incredible gifts, you know, porcelain dolls, a Nerf gun, color books. So when it was my turn and I saw a pink Precious Moments Bible, I was not impressed. I remember saying, "A Bible? What am I supposed to do with that?" Now, to be fair, I could barely read, but I still remember the hurt look on my grandma's face, and I apologized, but I still felt bummed. While my cousins were playing with their presents, I just sat there looking at what felt like a useless book. But that day has got me thinking about, how do I treat the Word of God all these years later? Is it still nice, but kind of useless when it comes to my life and busy schedule? So this month, I'm trying to take moments just to really slow down and savor the amazing gift it is to read about Jesus' birth, and really to even know the Christmas story is a miracle. So, also, I'm sorry, Grandma.
I'm sure your grandma forgives you. And, you know, look what a legacy she's left you, that you're still pondering these things today. Jenny Lynn Schmidt, let's hear your Christmas memory.
Well, I'm not sure this is a favorite Christmas memory, but it's one that really stands out to me. It's from 2013, and my mom had passed away early that December. And I got to walk her home to Jesus the months before, and I had lots of time to say goodbye. But after she died, a big part of the month got lost in planning memorial service and dealing with her estate and just crying. There's actually a lot about that Christmas that I don't remember very well. I know my wonderful husband and kids all pitched in to make it special, but what I do remember is the overwhelming sense of, this is what it's all about. This is where the rubber of my faith hits the road of life. And because Jesus came to earth at Christmas, I know that that was not the last goodbye. I will see my mama again.
Amen.
So that year, all the Christmas carols took on this new meaning for me, and that death is a curse. And at Christmas, Jesus came to undo that curse. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He came to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
That's great.
Mm. Yeah. I'm hearing a big perspective coming from many of us this year, you know, the long view of what matters.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, for my own Christmas memory, as soon as carols start playing, I start thinking about the second greatest blessing Christmas ever gave me. Though I'd grown up in a Christian home, I was a new believer at 24. And that Christmas was the first time I'd attended church regularly since leaving for college. That year, my very large congregation put on an event similar to a Renaissance festival, only instead of Shakespeare, it recreated the Roman world at the birth of Christ. There were booths and skits, strolling players, live animals, just the whole shebang. Well, naturally, it required a lot of church members filling a lot of acting roles to make this event work. And I was cast in a little skit titled The Princess and the Potion Seller. I'd noticed this good-looking guy playing the potion seller a few times before, but I really didn't know much about him beyond his name. Over the course of rehearsals, which, incidentally, he didn't take nearly as seriously as I thought he should, I got to know that guy a lot better. By Christmas Eve, we were dating. By Easter, we were engaged. So whenever I'm tempted to doubt I have a father who rewards those who earnestly seek him, I think of his second greatest gift to me, that crazy potion seller who is still the grace of my life. Hope you all have a wonderful Christmas, and from our family to yours,
Merry Christmas!
Today is Christmas Day, Wednesday, December 25th. We're so glad you're listening to World Radio. Good morning. I'm Megan Basham.
And I'm Myrna Brown. During this week of special programs of the world and everything in it, we've featured your memories of Christmas. Some are funny, others are more serious, but each has been heartwarming.
Yeah, they really have been heartwarming, and I've really enjoyed listening to them. So let's hear another one. Today's memory comes from listener Camilla Brewer.
Every Christmas, as far back as I can remember, my family would load up the car and head to the home of my maternal grandparents in eastern Oregon. My granddad was a pastor, and we celebrated Christmas as the birth of Christ. Since we had no Santa tradition, my grandma was the keeper of the Christmas stockings and filled one for each of the seven cousins with small toys and trinkets, plus one orange for every child. We didn't care about the orange. We put it aside and played with the toys and other items that were of much more interest. But every year, there was another orange in the stocking. As the years passed and we cousins grew our own families, our Christmas gatherings became filled with the traditions that we started with our own children. Now, I am the grandmother. And for the first time ever, our children will all be gathered at our home for Christmas. I'm in charge of the stockings, and I'll just bet you know of at least one item that each of our grandchildren will receive. That's keeping my grandmother's traditions alive. God bless you, and Merry Christmas.
Today is Wednesday, December 25th. Good morning. This is The World and Everything in It from listener-supported World Radio. I'm Myrna Brown.
And I'm Megan Basham. Today, millions are hearing the account of the birth of Christ read from Luke chapter 2. In it, the words of the angels announcing the good news to the shepherds, with the encouragement to come and adore him.
Those words are featured here in our Christmas hymn from last year's Candlelight Carols presentation in Chicago. Here are the combined choirs of the Moody Bible Institute singing H.E. Singley's arrangement of O Come, All Ye Faithful.
On tomorrow's program, we'll bring you the latest installment in our series about the notable people who died this year. And we'll share some more of your Christmas memories. That and more tomorrow. I'm Megan Basham.
And I'm Myrna Brown. The world and everything in it comes to you from World Radio. World's mission is biblically objective journalism that informs, educates, and inspires. As Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Merry Christmas to you and yours.